This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against rulers, against authorities, against cosmic powers and present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Please be seated. Well, let's start out. We are going to go right into Paul today, into Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. A very important reading, and something I haven't focused on before, I don't think, or I don't remember. That's part of life now. I did focus on Jesus ice cream, though. but I guess we'll have to be a little bit serious for a while. So, and I also want to welcome who I know, Father Stomsky. I was going through the process when I was about 45, 50, and he was a very good teacher as well as a very kind person. Because when you're going through that process, you're like, and he was just so gentle. And thank you for that gift. So that's how I know Father Stomsky. Anyhow, let's dive into Ephesians 10 today. It's a very interesting reading, and we got to get ourselves in the historical context or what was happening. Imagine Paul, who always bragged about being a Roman citizen. He was protected. He was like an American citizen. You feel more protected when you're out of your country, and when he was in Greece and all those things. Ironically, who was in jail? Paul, right? In chains, right? And so this must have been very disconcerting for him, and I think most people would have been very depressed and defeated. But imagine what Paul does in his creativity as he's surrounded by Roman guards. He looks at them and he sees basically their armor, their uniform, and he makes a metaphor about what's going on with his life as well as he's writing to his people and saying, do this, take on this armor, but for Christ, right? So really kind of important context. So he wanted the early Christians to know that they were in a spiritual battle. And I just read the little part, not necessarily blood and flesh, but the rulers. Who are really the rulers of the world? What influences us in our lives, right? And so right after it was read, you're very wise senior warden said, this is very relevant for today. I went, oh good, that's what I'm preaching on. So anyhow, so he's saying as a soldier prepares for war, he takes a lot of care in putting on each piece of armor. And the idea, of course, again, is a metaphor. It is very relevant for today that we should take some time and sit back and go, what are those things that are influencing me that aren't kind of trying to rule me, but they're not about what's in here, what's in my real self? What are those things, what are those battles we're facing? Maybe not physical battles, but doubts, temptation, and always that one that's the killer, fear, right? Fear can just paralyze you. But what are those things that are like real that we have to deal with all the time? Like Paul's readers, we need to be equipped. And this is a beautiful time to do it because it's raining outside, and what else would we be doing, right? It's a perfect time to kind of put on kind of our thinking caps and just pull out your Ephesians reading. Just walk along with me. This could be more like kind of instruction and meditation on what he's putting out there. He starts out, be strong in the Lord. That's where the strength of power is. And it goes back to that idea of the vine and the branches. We're nothing. where is our strength coming from? It's coming from the Lord. It's coming from our communication with God. And it reminds us, get back in communication, right? Where's our source? And then take up that whole armor, right? Against whatever that evil or what that fear, or that temptation, that doubt, everything that kind of stands in our way to be good, positive Christian people on our journey. Stand therefore, and then he starts going through the six parts of the armor. One of the other reasons I like this is when I did youth work many years ago up at St. Mark's, this was one of those readings that you could actually, you know, it was actually real stuff. It was like a real thing, like belts of truth around your waist. You could picture it. And the youth minister, Dave, who's still up there, said he wanted everybody to cut this out and paste it on their mirror so that every morning they would see it and just read down the list and think about it. And I actually did it for a while until I guess it got all wet or something. But think about putting on that belt of truth, putting on that breastplate of righteousness. I think a lot of you know I'm also a lawyer. I still do some law stuff, and I do mediation. And I got to tell you, and when I had clients, and as I hear, I sit, mediator kind of sits between the two lawyers. It's all on Zoom pretty much. And the first one says, my client got hurt because of car accident, da-da-da, all this stuff. And then the other one says, their piece, and this is why we're denying it, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, bark, 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 meow, meow, meow. But you kind of, you know, you get the gist. And I'm telling you, what always comes through is the truth. That is the key thing. And I just sit there. I'm not a judge, but I have to listen like a judge. And when I hear the truth, I always, because it's going to rule that case, whether we get it settled that day or they go forward to see a judge. And I always mention it to either side. You kind of pulling one side one way and the other side a little bit. But so the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness are so apropos and so relevant today because it cuts through all the stuff that's kind of bombarding us as we talk about. The shoes, this is the part the women like, oh, I get more shoes, great. So shoes, whatever shoes it says, whatever shoes it takes to proclaim the gospel of peace. So it kind of goes from battle to what are we really about? We're not really going to go do battle, but how do we proclaim peace? How do we get ourselves into a place of arming ourselves? Because you have to defend yourself, right? But also a place of peace. What can you do to help bring about peace in your small circle of your world, whatever it is? So we have to get ourselves kind of full of peace. And again, communicating with God, we'll get back to that. The shield of faith to quench all flaming arrows of the evil one. All this stuff that we hear, this is not true. You got to like be ready for it and go, oh God, really? Put up the shield. Let the arrows hit. Let them go out. Helmet of salvation. Protect your head, right? And then the sword of spirit, which is the word of God. So it's all the stuff that we read and we think about, we meditate on, and we let seep into ourselves. And this is an important place to do it, but also during the week just to maybe bring this home and just read it over and think about it. And then finally, Paul reminds us, pray in the Spirit at all times. Now, this is what he's doing as he's writing it. Again, he's in jail, in chains, with Roman guards, probably not getting fed well, probably not sleeping well, like all those TV programs you show, these folks in jail, etc. And he says, despite all that, pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. So I'll just kind of go a few little more things. So be strong in the Lord. He He reminds us of our strength. Where does it come from? Does it come from here? Does it come from us? Does it come from our brain? No, it comes from our communications with God, right? The vine and the branches, the vine and the branches, right? We have, as a vine, we can't survive without the branch that's feeding us. Put on the full armor and know your armor. And always, 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 when you forget everything else, pray, right? Pray in the Spirit. Paul concludes that the Spirit-led prayer is communication, our communication with God, and our allowing ourselves to be open to where God's leading us. I don't even have to tell you, it's already election season. It feels like, you know, Christmas used to start on what? After Thanksgiving. Now it's August 25th. That jumped out at me. Oh my God, 4 months to Christmas. Oh my God, like, you know, that's our world now. It's like, if you're not happy by this, if you're not, it's all that, if you're not at peace, do this. that's what we get, right? And we get sucked into it a little bit. And like, enjoy that stuff, yeah, but it's not going to make you peaceful and happy and strong. So, questions. I'm also a former teacher like Father Bill. So how is your prayer life? What can you do to take 10, 15, 20 minutes in the morning to just think about your day, invite God into your heart, that type of thing? And I'm saying it because I need it too, right? We're all human, right? You kind of get involved in life and then, wait a minute, I need some help too. So Paul, this idea of Spirit-led prayer is very important. If you got that inkling, I need something beyond what I'm doing, I'm just grinding through life, the Spirit is leading you to prayer. So just take it in. Because you need that we need that communication. So his message is in Ephesians 6, right? Really focuses on Christian discipleship and discipline. Things that we need to do to kind of keep us ahead and putting on this armor and going out there and spreading the gospel of peace. So questions. What battles do you face in your life today, this week? What are those things that you're struggling with, right? Is it something? Is it someone? Is it some situation? And bring it to mind and think about it and offer it, right? And offer God into it. Bring God into it. And then how can we live out this scripture today? This is a really good scripture. And I would do like youth minister, cut it out, tape it on your mirror, and just see if that will help you just kind of think. And then ultimately, how do we respond to obedience and compassion? Give ourselves a break too when we need it, right? Be graceful to yourself in our Christian journey. Because we're on this road. It's a great road. It's a tough road. We just have to realize, you know. And then remember that God knows that we face challenges every day, right? The gospel today that I didn't preach about, Jesus, there are lots of people leaving him because he is laying it out. Only the people that got nowhere else to go, as Peter says, stick with them, right? So God knows how hard it is, right? But God does not leave us defenseless. And he provides us with this spiritual armor. We just got to be the ones to put it on every day. And then finally, always, always, what? Pray in the Spirit at all times. Because we need that. And then like a good lawyer, extra finally, I looked at Psalm 84, the last two verses right above Ephesians there. No good thing will God withhold from those who walk with integrity, basically with truth, with righteousness, right? O God of hosts, happy are they who put their trust in you. Amen.
Amen.